Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone, from the minds that brought you It's Like a Podcast or Whatever, Hyphen Nation, and all other Hyphen Podcast Group productions. We are proud to present We Should Do This Again Sometime with Kat Chinetti and the Mark Rupp. There's action, adventure, comedy, and danger. If you like movies, then this is for you. We Should Do This Again Sometime is rated PG-13 for language and some thematic elements. Get your tickets wherever you get your podcast. Goodbye.
Welcome to the Underground Monster show, covering the underground independent hip hop scene, horrorcore, and the juggalo culture. I am your host, Enigma, and this is episode 26. 26 episodes in. Bitch, you guessed it. That's right. Now, first things first, I'm going to keep it very blunt, very simple. Straightforward going into this. Make sure you're following your boy at Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows, and then I have the Al Azul Elu centered / Zooligan account and other shenanigans I do over there on my other Instagram page, which is at There's Only Zool. So yeah, that's where you can find me, social media wise. And for the crew that I am a part of, called the Hyphen Podcast Group, the collective of dope-ass podcasters of all sorts, you can follow us on all social medias at Hyphen Podcast Group, and you can keep up with all the shows and all the respective episodes at www.hyphenpodcastgroup.com. Now, with that out of the way, first things first, let's get into the show, but I want to start with sending my condolences to rap group Injury Reserve. I believe they were based in Arizona. I want to say rest in peace to their member Groggs that recently passed away. I don't know if the cause of death has come out yet. I'm going to do a really quick look up research just to see. Man, he was only 32. Groggs of Injury Reserve was only 32 years old, man, and it's really unfortunate, man, because they were really beginning to take off. They released their debut album, their self-titled album, last year, which was one of my favorite albums to have come out last year. And just really great collection of mixtapes and EP, just a lot of great projects with Floss and Live at the Dentist's Office. Like, check, if you haven't checked out Injury Reserve, man, check them out. Like, they are just this trio, just two dope MCs and a dope producer, and Groggs really was, you know, he was a great contributor to that group, man. Like, his lyricism, you know, his flow, I mean, he was really, really... Just check out Injury Reserve, man. Like, really do that for Groggs at the very least, man. And it's very unfortunate, man. He was a really young dude. Trying to see if there's any cause of death released yet, but nah, I mean, I just know he was a father, which is very unfortunate. For his family, his children especially, and his... Yeah, man, it just really sucks to lose someone that young in the music business when they're just getting their footing, you know. But yeah, man, RIP the Groggs, you know, rest in power to Jordan Groggs, aka Groggs of Injury Reserve. Now, news and stuff, what's going on in the news, the music and stuff? Well, I'm not gonna spend too much time on that because I have other matters I really want to get to, you know, talking about and whatnot. Do need to touch on, definitely need to touch on the fact that it's been a couple of months since Ouija Max Hell's Holotape, Resistance 2 Hell's Holotape dropped. Hasn't been that long, has it? Really hasn't. But yeah, Ouija Max got a new mixtape coming out July 17th. Pre-orders and all that shit is up at OuijaMaxShop.com. But yeah, Ouija Max got a new mixtape coming out in a couple weeks. Pretty ugly. So it should be out by the time the next episode comes up, and I should have a little something to say about it. But yeah, man, Ouija Mac, pretty ugly mixtape coming very soon. Very, very sooner than you think. July 17th, to be specific. Really hope Choir Boy Dank, whatever he's calling himself, Ouija's former other half of Swagtooth, really hope he's got something coming this year as well, man. It's not that I want them competing against each other. It's just that I would like a good equal balance of music from both of those dudes, because I'm a bigger fan of Swagtooth than I am of both of them individually, but I like what they're doing individually. And so I want an equal amount of music from, you know, I want one, you know, moving more than the other, you know. But I mean, people gonna do what they gonna do. But hopefully Choir has some coming too. But I'm looking forward to hear what Ouija is doing on this pretty ugly mixtape compared to what he did on Hell's Holotape. But that is not all coming very soon, man. Violence, which is LSP's class and hex rated Violence, not Villain Clan or VLNC, as I said last episode. No, they're called Violence. They just took the vowels out. That's all they did. They just took the vowels out. It's that simple. Yeah, man, their project, their album, their pre-orders have already gone up. Pre-orders are already up at gorehop.com, you know, the home of everything LSP. But their album, it's not far behind either. Hold on, shit. I thought I had the date for the album up. Can't find the damn thing. I don't know why it's that hard, but yeah. Oh, okay. Comes out the 10th, July 10th. So, Class and Hex Red as Violence, their album drops July 10th. So, be on the lookout for that. All the singles they've been releasing, especially this newest one with Scum and Insane Poetry, aka Make My Motherfucking Day. I think it's called Fall. Even that one, like, everything leading up to has been really dope. So make sure you check that out. Also, make sure you check out Mikey Clark's latest single, or whatchamacallit, he just dropped, Medicine Show. There's a video for it out on YouTube. Just look up Mikey Clark, Medicine Show. It's that simple, man. And yeah, also there's a new song by Buckshot and Boondocks, aka Turncoat Dirty. Of course, you know, when they come together, it's either Hell's Kitchen or I can't remember what the last one, Paradigm Shift. I don't know. They got this new version of Hell's Kitchen coming very soon, sooner than you think. I think it might be out already. Hell's Kitchen, the Apocalypse Edition. They have a song, a new song on it that I think may be out called Burning Bridges. So go check that out. But yeah, be on the lookout for that Hell's Kitchen Apocalypse Edition by Buckshot and Turncoat Dirty, a.k.a. Boondocks. And yeah, man, that's most of the stuff we want to talk about. I mean, other things, you know, like, is Post Malone the Juggalo, or the stuff going on between Rhymesayers and Doomtree with just people under the umbrella and sexual harassment, and that's a whole nother thing we got to really get into the next episode. And also, you know, just sort of the rumors and whatnot out around, you know, or the talk of Twisted and Blaze, you know, and their albums that they're finishing up on. Twisted might have more music. More music. God damn. We can touch on that another episode. But something happened that I saw a lot of people mentioning and giving their two piece on recently. And some magazine who I have their by the name of Far Out Magazine UK, they're from the UK. They made a 10 greatest horrorcore artists of all time list. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. For different reasons, many different reasons. And that's what many lists nowadays are made to do. Like, now people don't make them to actually highlight artists or really give a legit opinion on who they think is, you know, the best, or in this, you know, this is the defining order of these artists. Most of the time they just do it to, you know, cause some controversy, get some attention, you know, draw some eyes and whatnot towards their towards themselves, you know, towards the company or whatever. So to make a long story short, this list was shit. It was just a complete shitty list. Some of the people on there aren't that good. Some of the people on there, a couple people on there, don't belong on there. Whether you think they're good or not, whether you think they're horrorcore or not, truth be told, they don't belong on there. So I took it upon my damn self to make a way, way better list. And not just top 10, because that's such a generic ass number. For so many horrorcore arts define the genre, the subgenre, man, the culture and whatnot. So I made a top 15. Alright? The criteria for this, it's very simple. People who have been in the game for at least 10 years doing their thing, you know. And people who have actually taken on the name of horrorcore that are, like, you can't argue that they are horrorcore. That, all right? Not, you know, no questions of, I think they're horrorcore, or, like, I think, just, they're horrorcore. Straight up horrorcore. Like, they are the definition of horrorcore. Because I know my fucking horrorcore more than these jabronis who made this list. So, yeah. That's what it is, all right? So, without further ado, we're going to get into my top 15 greatest horrorcore artists of all time. And if you have any discrepancy with it or any issues with it, make your own. And hey, if anybody is feeling this, then maybe in the future we can do a albums list with a few guests on the show. What do you think? I think that might be something interesting. You know, what's the best, what's the greatest horrorcore albums, horrorcore hip-hop albums. We'll get together for that for another time, but for right now, here's my top 15 horrorcore artists of all time. Let's get into it. All right, and here we go with my top 15 horrorcore artists. Now, this is just my personal opinion, as if I was making a Hall of Fame you know, or if I was doing a ceremony where I would induct those who deserve their props for what they've contributed to the subgenre, to the culture, and just holding the horrorcore brand and genre down in different ways, more than many. Okay, I'm not talking juggalo rappers and shit like that. I'm talking about people who, when we talk horrorcore, these are some of the first names that would come to mind on the larger scale that you could all agree to some extent deserve to be considered OGs, veterans, if not legends, of the wicked shit in horrorcore rap game. So, starting at 15, the man had something to say about the list that has caused that this list to exist. Bars. Had something to say about it, and so I think he definitely deserves to be on said similar list for the work and effort that he's put in the game. And I'm talking about number 15. I'm talking about Scum. Need insanity, aware of all my actions. Satisfaction that I feel when a kill provokes my rage. Even getting laid by two, my bitches can't compare to blowing off your fucking head when a moss breaks out of cage. The general lead man in charge, CEO of LSP, Lyrical Snuff Productions. Scum has been in the game talking, doing his gore hop, as he calls it, as they call it over LSP, since the early 2000s, since basically when, you know, Psychopathic was really getting going as an underground independent hip-hop label in the horrorcore department. So he was out there around the same time, probably even before then, as we can, you know, records don't, you know, his records may not show, early, late 90s, probably mid, I mean, I don't know Scum's history that well, because I'm honestly not that big of a Scum fan, but if I was part of a committee, and we were trying to, you know, put together a list of who are the essential, important horrorcore artists who have, artists just to have really been waving the flag and representing horrorcore for at least the last decade, Scum definitely needs to be one of the names that would come up. He's been holding it down for sure. I mean, what he's done with LSP alone deserves a spot. So yeah, Scum is my number 15. My number 14 is Ghetto Boys. In a deep sweat, thinking I gotta fuck somebody before the week ends. The sight of blood excites me. Shoot you in the head, sit down and watch you bleed to death. 14, did I say 15 or 14? 14 is Ghetto, is the Ghetto Boys. Ghetto Boys are basically rooted in horrorcore. Now, there's other artists in a similar position as Ghetto Boys, you know, rap groups that are, you know, very notorious, very prolific, but maybe had a horrorcore phase, you know, where maybe they had an album or a project or here and there that they did before they really took off. And then they flipped the script and just went, you know, started rapping about some other shit that was not horror, violent, about mental illness, any of the typical topics that would fall under the banner of horrorcore, you know, and we'll get to those later. But Ghetto Boys are one of the ones that, for few records, if it wasn't Scarface, it was, and I'm gonna look up the names real quick of those that were in Ghetto Boys before. I would say, I think Prince Johnny C is the one that is credited with, that Violent J himself even credits as like being really one of the first horrorcore, or first one of the first rappers to really rap horrorcore shit, in his opinion. But I mean, Scarface himself, I mean, even on his first two solo records, even he was, you know, still rapping about I mean, he death and murder and suicide. I mean, shit. I mean, is there those first two Scarface records? He's just rapping about blowing motherfuckers to pieces, ghetto blast and shit, you know. So, and take with that him being at one point one of the main writers of the group, and then on top of that another. Not to get ahead of myself, but another essential horrorcore figure, having contributed a lot to early Ghetto Boys material, you know, a lot to take in at that, you know, that, yeah, Ghetto Boys are rooted basically in horrorcore, their first few records, even their most popular records, We Can't Be Stopped, the self-titled record, there's horrorcore shit on there. I mean, Bushwick Bill alone, rest in peace to Bushwick Bill, you know, his Chucky track, he's talking about what he's rapping about, he's from the perspective of a killer doll, come on, the killer doll that we all know. So, yeah, Ghetto Boys, I think that's very self-explanatory, and yeah, that's why Ghetto Boys are number 14. Now, this may be a little controversial, but my number 13 is House of Crazy. Please don't test. Fuck around and get stabbed in your fucking chest. But it's time for me to be lazy. We're chilling out at the home in the House of Crazy. Of course, there's the group that Twisted and the ROC were part of, in case you didn't know, before they became who they are now, who they are recognized as now, when they were teenagers. The reason I have House of Crazies above Ghetto Boys is because House of Crazies was solely for five records. For five records. Around the same time as Ghetto Boys' career, they were solely, strictly wicked shit and horrorcore for every record. They were a horrorcore group, and if House of Crazies hadn't gotten to at the very least the similar success or exposure that Twisted got around Most Tasteless, I think a lot of people would be holding the House of Crazies down a lot heavier, you know. But I mean, I think many people do still to this day that know, consider House of Crazies to be a classic, pivotal horrorcore group, if not a wicked shit group. But yeah, man, I mean, everything them dudes were talking, everything them dudes were spitting on Homebound, Home Sweet Home, Season of the Pumpkin, Head Trauma, Outbreed, everything. It's horrorcore. It's wicked shit. Like, they were. This is what led to what Twisted would do. You know, this is what would lead to Most Tasteless, to Freak Show, to The Green Book, to Wicked, to Abominations, to The Darkness. Like, this is what paved the way for that. So without House of Crazies, you don't get that fire shit alone. And I feel like, personally, to me, I think they're a very essential group to the Detroit, at least the Detroit horrorcore scene. So, you know, which I think is one of the biggest horrorcore scenes, in my opinion. But yeah, moving on from them, at number 12, we gotta talk about Insane Poetry. The house that drip blood, step into my bloodbath, nigga. Coming from Psycho, that mad nigga. Insane Poetry, you're looking at the devil himself, kicking rappers like poetry. I got the crossfade beast on the razor cut. Now, we know Insane Poetry is one person signed to LSP, as we've just kind of talked about. But Insane Poetry, for those who don't know, they were a group first. Main person running Insane Poetry, as Insane Poetry right now, is Psycho, who's on Lyrical Snuff, of course. We, you know, been repping, you know, been holding down the Insane Poetry name on LSP. But Insane Poetry, though, was a rap group at one point. West, probably, other than Brother Lynch Hung, and I guess Twisted Insane too, probably one of the most, hard to say prolific, but let's just say prolific, iconic West Coast horrorcore rap groups. I mean, not that there's many you could really choose from on the West Coast side, but just horrorcore rap acts, let's say that. Black Plague is a very, very, in my opinion, if you were going to talk horrorcore classics, I would say Black Plague by Insane Poetry is definitely a record you would have to mention. Grim Reality too, but I think Black Plague tops Grim Reality in my opinion. But yeah, man, you can't talk about horrorcore without mentioning Insane Poetry, which is something that list got right, even though they didn't acknowledge. I don't remember them acknowledging that Insane Poetry was a group before it was just Psycho as it is now. But yeah, shout out to Insane Poetry. Shout out to Psycho for holding down the Insane Poetry name to this day. To this day. My number 11 is Necro. Man's destiny, it's best that he learns. My axe intervenes, hacking through your veins like you're in between the railroad track and the train. Bullet in the back of your brain, simple and plain, like back in the days when cats didn't play. They whack you and not explain. Demeaning Jesus, you ripped to pieces by hyenas. Like Necro. You know, Necro. Yeah. We all have our opinions of Necro the person, but Necro the rapper. If you're talking wicked shit, if you're talking horrorcore, if you're talking death rap as he's branded it, you have to mention Necro. Necro is a very essential figure to that conversation, man. I mean, he has been on brand with that style, that gory, graphic rap style mixed with hardcore underground hip hop, which that basically creates horrorcore. Horror lyrics, hardcore hip hop. Boom. Peanut butter and jelly, baby. That's what you get. Yeah, man. I mean, he's got Psychological Records, which is also home to, I mean, his brother Ill Bill's on Psychological. Well, was on Psychological Records, but I mean, right now, it's, you know, Gore-Tex was on there, Secret Society at one point, Q Unique was on it, Nims was as well, Mr. Hyde, who was another horrorcore figure you gotta mention, and we will, of course. But yeah, man, now you can't talk about horrorcore without mentioning Necro. Or you just can't. I mean, Necro, he's paid his dues, he's a dope lyrical rapper, okay? For real. You can't knock that just because of his personality and the shit that comes out of his mouth, aside from the bars. And on top of that, man, he's been spitting that sick shit for a minute now, so you gotta mention Necro. And that's why he's my number 11. Now, as we get to the top 10, let me take a breather real quick. Water. Take a little sip of water. Because my top 10 needs all my full focus and attention. Because my top 10 is one of my favorites. And that is King Gordon. King Gory has been out here for years screaming that he is the king of horrorcore. And that alone, you would have to at least consider the dude, right? Aside from his shocking lyrics, his dirty graphic lyrics, he's on brand, man. On top of him having a dope ass flow, just being a sick ass rapper. Yeah, King Gory definitely fits. He definitely fits the criteria of a horrorcore rapper, man. I mean, his King of Horrorcore mixtapes, of course, The Entity. Why isn't that on streaming sites? You know, I mean, Gordy has been on brand for years, and he doesn't get mentioned enough in the horrorcore conversation, unless you know about him. But I mean, he still gets overlooked every now and then, so that's why he's in my top 10 of the top 15. Because if I was to do a top 10, he would definitely be in there for sure, no questions about it. Number 9 is Cool Keith.
Paramedic fetus of the east with priesthood from the church of the operating room with the strikes of force, scalpel since the Holocaust. I do indeed in greed explore, meet the patients, back the rooms with the
Cool Keith. Now, Cool Keith was on the other list. And some people were just like, really? Cool Keith? Why is Cool Keith on there? Cool, okay. So, I have to take a minute to get into this. And I don't want to get too much into it because I'm not that big of a Cool Keith fan. Honestly, I just hugely respect Cool Keith. Cool Keith, aside, horrorcore shit aside, Cool Keith is a legend. He's a hip-hop legend, straight up, alright? He's part of one of the, I guess you could say pioneering, but just one of the most important rap groups in the history of hip hop, which is the Ultramagnetic MCs. Why did I say it like that? Ultramagnetic MCs. And after, when he went solo, the reason he became prolific, you know, for his rapping style once he went solo, right? But the reason he gets brought up into the hip horrorcore conversation, aside from claiming that he is the inventor of horrorcore, it's also because he has been very consistent with it, man. I mean, yeah, the Dr. Octagon pseudonym character and, you know, his debut album, Dr. Octagonologist. Yeah, that's one record that would definitely, you could definitely use as proof that, okay, yeah, he does horrorcore. But, I mean, even following records after that, man, I mean, He kind of does something similar as Necro, where there's a lot of sexual and horror, very graphic, gory, but sexual lyrics. They like kind of meet in the middle, all that stuff. But I mean, he's been doing it for a minute with stuff like, you know, The Return of Dr. Octagon, Black Elvis, Spankmaster, Sex Style. I mean, a lot of his records, you know, Moose Bumps and Exploration into Modern Day Horripilation. I'm not familiar with that record, but that alone tells me that, yeah, he's do the research yourself if you want to. Cool Keith is horrorcore, in my opinion. I roll with it, alright? And, yeah, respect. If you're gonna know your shit, you gotta know Cool Keith, alright? At least talking about horrorcore, you gotta mention Cool Keith and Dr. Octagon. It just is what it is at that point, alright? Number 8. Red Rum, Gravedigger, Tempest, Flatliners. You can't talk about anything horrorcore without mentioning Flatliners. Now, I don't know if Flatliners coined the term horrorcore, or if they were given the term horrorcore and they just ran with it. I've seen various sources. I think I've seen Red Rum say that, yeah, they are horrorcore. They came up with the term. Or I've even seen one where they were, you know, I've even heard one story, I think, that Prince Paul, who's of Gravediggers, which, spoiler alert, we'll get to, saying that some magazine or something called both groups that, because they came out around the same time, Gravediggers and Flatliners. And Flatliners were the ones that were just like, yep, that's us, out of the two. While Gravediggers is more like, horrorcore. We don't know about that term. But Flatliners, that alone, I would say Flatliners deserves a mention, man. They've definitely been waving that flag. They've definitely been they're definitely one of the ones you have to mention with a list. You know, you have to talk about the Flatliners. I mean, a rap group in the early 90s with an album called USA, standing for Under Satan's Authority. That alone, dude. I mean, the Live Evil music video alone. Go check out that music video if you've never seen it. But yeah, man, you gotta mention Flatliners. You have to mention Flatliners when you talk about horrorcore. It just is what it is. That's just how. That's just facts. All right. And they're still going to this day. Red Rum and Gravedigger. I don't know what happened to Tempest, but Red Rum and Gravedigger are still rocking it, holding it down to this day. So you have to. I mean, it's fair. The list was that other list, which I don't want to keep harping on because this is my list, but they were right in that aspect to mention Flatliners. Maybe not number one, but definitely to mention. Put them on the list for sure. All right. So, number seven. This might be. Shouldn't be controversial. Man, fuck being controversial, right? Isn't that what horrorcore is about? To some degree, being controversial. Number seven is Lord Infamous. Kaiser Solse, Scarecrow. Scarecrow the Terrible. Lord Infamous. And Infamous. Pun intended. Infamous member of the legendary 3-6 Mafia. Brother to DJ Paul. Lord Infamous. And yeah. Pun intended with the Infamous part. But dude is definitely a crucial member to 3-6 Mafia. Their style. What they're known for. The mystic style when, you know, what made them 666 Mafia in the beginning. Yeah, DJ Paul, Juicy J, very important to the sound, but the style, the flow, what captured people's attention of this group. A lot of it was Lord Infamous style. Lord Infamous, that flow, that choppy flow he was doing was very, I don't want to say revolutionary because that's a bit over exaggerating, but maybe, man. But I mean, it was very ahead of its time, at the very least, the way he was doing that. The way he was doing that. And then on top of it, with just the lyrics, I mean, just his horrorcore themed lyrics, which he fenced in for years. He's been the most consistent member of 3-6, regardless of, you know, after Mystic Styles, when they start to change, get farther away from, you know, the satanic, you know, sound and horror lyrics. He stayed on that shit. Even in his solo work, man. I mean, he had a project called Scarecrow the Terrible. Yeah, you know, he has a project called King of Horrorcore. So you have to, you know, I know the name of project alone doesn't mean that they have to be mentioned in the conversation, but if you know his solo work and you know his lyrics and just what he is known for, has always been known for since day one, Lord Infamous has been a horrorcore rapper all the time. He can talk about other shit, he's done that before, but horror is where his lyrics are mostly rooted in. And yeah, man, that's why he needs to be at the very least at number seven, if not in the top five. He's personally in my top five, but I'm not doing this from a personal aspect. I mean, I am. I clearly am, you know, but I'm not doing this as in favoritism or bias, which is why with Lord Infamous being number seven, and again being as crucial to the 3-6 sound as I believe he is. My number 6 is Twist. Ways to die, but I'd rather just cut stuff. Unlovable. Breath through hate, product of date rape that they can't wait to cremate. I take lives with steak knives and such, you leave so many cuts, there's nothing left to touch. And I walk with the family, mindset on casualty. Of everyone on this list, Twist is my number 1. But Twisted is number 6 on this list. You'll learn why as I go through the rest of the list. But Twist is number 6. They've just been repping the wicked shit down, which the wicked shit is Juggalo brand horrorcore. Let's say that, okay? It's horrorcore, but it's Juggalo favorite horrorcore. But they've been repping the wicked shit horrorcore, whatever, since HOK, and they only got better when they became Twisted. And I really need to say more, man. I mean, come on, what the fuck? I mean, they've grown. You listen to what they were doing in HOK. Listen to Homebound. Then listen to Most Tasteless. Then listen to Wicked. And then listen to Mad Season. And hear the progression. Hear the fucking progression. Hear them still spit that wicked shit. Hear them still spit that wig splitting shit. Those brain dead lyrics they were talking about on their first record. Alright, what more do I need to say? It's fucking Twisted. At number 6. Number 5. Oh, here comes Grave Diggers. As I exercise my exorcism, the evil that lurks within, the sin, the terrorism, possessed by evil spirits, voices from the dead, I come forth with grave diggers in a head full of dread. I've been examined ever since I was semen. They took a sonogram and seen the image. Grave Diggers are number 5. Grave Diggers are definitely crucial to the horrorcore conversation, which is why they're one of the first to be in the top fucking 5. I mean, come on. You got RZA, Prince Paul, two of the most iconic, legendary hip-hop producers of all time, come together to basically make one of the first official, I guess you can argue, horrorcore albums with 6 Feet Under. Is it 6 Feet Under or 6 Feet Deep? I always get mixed up. 6 Feet Under or 6 Feet Deep? 6 Feet Deep. 6 Feet Deep, man. You got records like Two Cups of Blood, Suicide, 1-800-SUICIDE. That's actually what it's called. Suicide. It's a suicide. Got 1-800-SUICIDE. I mean, Diary of a Madman. Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide, classic. Outside of just a horrorcore conversation, this is just a classic album, which, you know, just make the group itself alone classic. It's, you know, memorable, classic in themselves. Because, I mean, just the timing, like this, RZA did this project the following year after Wu-Tang's Enter the 36 Chambers. So I, in my opinion, for me personally, this record, I'm just talking about the 6 Feet Deep record. I mean, of course, they did the Pick, the Sickle, and the Shovel after, you know, a few years later. But, you know, 6 Feet Deep and Enter 36 Chambers are both, in my opinion, two very crucial records, if not production-wise, just in general, to the grand scheme of hip-hop in relation to how great the RZA is. And then if you want to talk Prince Paul, you can mention this record and then the shit he did with De La Soul and then Stetsasonic and all that stuff. Then you can be like, yeah, Prince Paul is the shit too. Like, this is something different. Like, RZA did something groundbreaking with Wu-Tang, and then right afterwards he did something groundbreaking with this record for horrorcore. So yeah, the shit. And that's just talking about 6 Feet Deep, man. I mean, we could talk about pick the Sickle and the Shovel, which isn't a bad album, but in my opinion, 6 Feet Deep is better. I mean, that's just, I mean, it's the defining album of Gravediggaz. Rest in peace to Poetic, of course, who I really loved his style on the record. Poetic is the one that passed away, right? Hold on. Just making sure. Yeah. I believe Poetic. Poetic passed away. So yeah, rest in peace to Poetic. Because I love Poetic's style on 6 Feet Deep. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. So yeah. I mean, I should have to explain why Gravediggaz are number 5. Same shit I said for Flatliners. Run with it. Number 4 is Gangsta Nip. I know some of y'all are probably like, I'm sorry, who? Gangsta Nip. Gangsta Nip was a Houston, Texas rapper. He had quite a bit to do. He had quite a bit to do with some of the early Ghetto Boys stuff. Well, I might be getting a little ahead of myself. But he wrote, I mentioned the Chucky record by Bushwick Bill, right? He wrote that record. And Gangsta Nip, when he didn't do that, why am I talking like that? When he didn't do that, he wrote a lot of, when he was doing his own shit, he was doing mainly horrorcore. He used, you know, gory lyrics and all that. Gangsta rap, fusion, all that. Called himself the South Park Psycho. That was his first record, you know, and then he would go on later in years to have records like God of Horrorcore Rap or Creator of Horrorcore. I think the one I've been bumping the most, though, is I think it's called Lord of Horrorcore. Hold on. Let me see if I can. I think I got it in my iTunes. Let me see. Come on, I know I have it in here somewhere. I need to get rid of it. I know I got somewhere here. Oh, fuck, did they get rid of it? Oh, I must have got deleted from my goddamn iTunes. That sucks. Got the Return Psychopath. Yeah, Return of Psychopath that came out in 2000. Creator of Horrorcore. Yeah, okay, it was Creator of Horrorcore. Where did I see Lord of Horrorcore at? I don't know. Greatest Horrors, Volume 1. Yeah, man. Look, I'll just leave it at that. If you ain't familiar with Gangsta Nip, you need to... If you're not familiar with Gangsta Nip, all right, you should just get familiar, okay? Because he's been doing horrorcore since the late 80s. All right? Gangsta Nip, South Park Psycho. Creator of Horrorcore, self-proclaimed creator of Horrorcore, and God of Horrorcore. So, you know, again, I know they're just titles of records, but if the people are calling themselves that, you gotta give them props. You gotta respect it, because they are, for the very few who are holding that title down. A lot of motherfuckers hate being called Horrorcore. Ask Tyler the Creator and the Suicide Boys. Number 3, Brother Lynch Hunt. On for the fact I take none. Pack a gun in my dangle. Ain't that nigga that gang bang. No, never that nigga that claim. Yeah, I'm a nigga eating Jesus brains. I got the evil in my motherfucking back and in my motherfucking vein. Where my black. Now, a lot of you should agree with this, okay? Brother Lynch Hung is definitely a top 5, if not number 1, horrorcore legend. All right. Seasons of the Sick. Seasons of the Sick alone. But what else am I supposed to say? Seasons of the Sick. That's it. That's it. Oh, you need more? Okay, 24 deep. How about that? 24 deep? No? That ain't enough for you? Really? Okay, snuff tapes? Does that do anything for you? Nope. Okay, Loaded? Does that do anything for you? No? Oh, okay. Euthanism? Does that do anything for you? Nope. Really? Now Eat? Does that do anything for you? Still? No? Okay. Dinner in a Movie? Nope. All right. How about Co-Hanger Strangler? Nope. Okay. Manable Lector? Nope. Still not enough for you? Okay. Well, then at that point, you just go fuck yourself. Because, Brother Lynch Hung is horrorcore royalty. He's a horrorcore fucking legend. He's been holding down the sick shit for a long time. He's been on point, on brand for a long ass time, and you can't keep up with him. His flow, his lyricism, like, Lynch is the shit. And anyone who doesn't mention Brother Lynch Hung in the horrorcore conversation is fucking up heavy. Heavy, alright? Manable Lector. Grrr. It's Brother Lynch Hung, alright? He's been eating fetuses and chicks for years. So that alone should tell you what he's about, okay? Number two. You know, before we get to number two, I think that's a good time to do the honorable mentions. So let's do the honorable mentions now, because we're in the top two, the main two. So you're thinking it's okay. You're thinking you know who the top two are. You're just wondering what's the placement. So we'll do it like this, all right? Honorable mentions first. Honorable mentions are gonna go to people like Eminem. Eminem was horrorcore for a few records. Once he started doing the Slim Shady shit, I mean, you can't knock Infinite, which wasn't so much horrorcore. But once he started doing, you know, Slim Shady, Marshall Mathers, like, those are horrorcore records. I consider Marshall Mathers LP to be a horrorcore classic. God, I've been saying horrorcore so fucking much this episode. So, yeah, I say early Eminem. 3-6 Mafia, yeah, Mystic Styles, of course, they were called 666 Mafia before they were 3-6 Mafia. After Mystic Styles, they, of course, that was when they started to make the transition into a more mainstream, you know, type of group, which helped them in their legacy, for sure, you know. But as I said, that's why I only had Lord Infamous on the list, because Lord Infamous was the only member of the group to really continue that style. DJ Paul eventually went back to it, you know, once 3-6 Mafia broke up and whatnot. But Lord Infamous, every record he's done, he's been on that horror shit, man. Bone Thugs, yeah, early Bone Thugs definitely were fucking with horrorcore, especially on their class, considered classic, which is East Street. 1999, Eternal East, 1999. Why did I fuck that name up so many times? That's one of the first albums I ever bought as a child. What the fuck? East 99, Eternal. Especially on that album. Ouija, are you ready? More murder, more murder, more murder, more murder. You know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. Blaze. Guys, should give a shout out to Blaze, you there, homie. Azuli Lou, got your shout out to them as well. Twisted Insane, he's been holding it down for a long time. You know, his style is bananas. So yeah, Twisted Insane, gotta show love to him. Dark Half, of course. Dark Half, I think that they deserve some love for sure. The Manson Family, if you know who the Manson Family is, you know, they were another Memphis horrorcore crew
that were along the lines of 3-6, but you know, they were more ran by Tommy Wright, who was a little more well known than the group is. But if you know who Tommy Wright is, Tommy Wright the Third specifically, if you know who Tommy Wright the Third is, then you know Manson, you know about the Manson family. They definitely deserve a mention. Half Breed, which is of course the RLC after HOK with Scraps. Guy mentioned Half Breed. Mr. Hyde, I mentioned him. He signed to Necro's Psychological Records. Big L gets thrown a lot around a lot. His first record definitely had some horrorcore type tracks, and he definitely was killing a lot of people on those tracks. And then of course he had his the group Children of the Corn, which infamously had Mace and Cameron, so that's one to also mention. Cage, Movies for the Blind, that's considered an iconic horrorcore record to some people. I wouldn't knock it. It's a dope record, that's for sure. Cage definitely is a dark rapper, if anything. Gotta show some love to the Hitchcock of hip-hop. Prozac, for sure. And last but not least, Mars. Mars was one of the first non-Juggalo-related rappers, I guess I would say, that in reference to not being signed on Psychopathic. Mars, you know, with the Z, with the S, not with the Z, I'm sorry. You know, not Dark Lowe's Mars, but Mars with the mask, the Lecter mask. He was one of the first rappers, horrorcore rappers I ever discovered that wasn't signed Psychopathic back in the day. So yeah, gotta show love to Mars. Now, also real quick, gotta give a shout out to Low Key. You know, Low Key, Mission Infect, The House, American Monster. I mean, a lot of, you know, Mass, we all know Low Key, but gotta give a shout out to Low Key. I don't know why, even though I have him in my notes, I almost forgot to mention him. But yeah, Low Key's been doing his thing for quite a bit. And the growth of the MC, the evolution of his style, and just what he's been doing with his brand of horrorcore, if you want to call it that, or dark music, I mean, whatever he wants to call it, man. Low Key has been doing this thing. A lot of people know. So shout out to Low Key. I couldn't forget to put Low Key, mention Low Key in this episode. Back to the main list. Number 2 is ICP. Totally sure, but I think it could be me. Something happens to me when I'm sleeping in the night. You can make the argument that ICP is the greatest horrorcore act of all time. You could say that, and I would not be mad at you. I would not disagree. You know, that is definitely not something that I would argue, for sure. Storytelling on point, always rapping horror wicked shit on point. Platinum selling records, hell yeah. Cultural phenomenon, hell yeah. Pop culture phenomenon, hell yeah. I mean, they check most of all the boxes, man. They're arguably, I used to say Eminem was probably the most successful horrorcore rapper of all time, but honestly, you gotta give that to Insane Clown Posse. You gotta give that to Violent J and Shaggy. Like, what they've done doesn't exist. I mean, what I'm doing doesn't exist without Violent J and Shaggy. And so that's why I put them at number. That's why they're in the top 2. That's why you got to put them. That's why you have to say they're one of the best, if not the best. But why are they not number 1? Well, because even though everything I've said, my number 1, without my number 1, you don't get ICP, pretty much. They've gone on record as saying
that without this person, and you now know who I'm talking about, you know, there wouldn't be them. They listen to this person's most iconic record, and that changed their lives. Of course, number one is Esham.
Sick in the head, so I tried to kill a priest. But now I'm killing time, I'm in the belly of the beast. No study the Bible, bloody rifle, the disciple of Nadis, Satan, anticipating, contemplating suicide, murder ride, and I'm the driver. Blood's in my mouth, mixed with my saliva. I'm screaming out Jesus Christ, bloody murder, crucified. When I close
who
my eyes, got visions of
maybe many of us could say is the true godfather of horrorcore. And honestly, I would say if you're going to talk horrorcore rap, ICP might be the most successful one, but if you're going to give credit to anyone who has really shaped what horrorcore is, you got to give it credit to one of the black artists. The black horrorcore artists, the black artists who were doing horrorcore rap are the ones who defined the genre, who created the genre, who inspired the ones like ICP or Twisted or the LSP brand itself too. Like, they are the ones that set it off like that. And so not just Esham, of course, you know, but for everything he's done, but Nadas, because he's got Nadas as well. Nadas, they, I think collectively Nadas deserves their love and respect as well, as much as Esham, man. I mean, come on. Satan backwards. That's alone. That alone. Nadas. I mean, their records along with Esham's records together makes a easy said and done case for Esham being the number one horrorcore artist of all time, in my book. And I'm not even a huge Esham fan. I'm more of an ICP fan than I am of Esham. There's only a few Esham records I really love. Others I'm just like, eh. Same thing for Nadas, but I can't fucking talk about the horrorcore artists of all time without mentioning Esham and Nadas. And if I'm ranking them, Esham and Nadas are number one. They were doing this shit before everyone on this list that I just mentioned. That was two at number two, ICP. At number, let's start backwards. At number 15, Scum. Number 14, Ghetto Boys. Number 13, House of Crazies. Number 12, Insane Poetry. Number 11, Necro. Number 10, King Gordy. Number 9, Kool Keef. And I guess we could say / Dr. Octagon too. Number 8, Flatliners. Number 7, Lord Infamous. Number 6, Twisted. Number 5, Gravediggers. Number 4, Gangsta Nip. Number 3, Brother Lynch Hung. Number 2, Insane Clown Posse. And at number 1, Esham / Nadas. Because that's basically a package deal. If you're going to talk about Esham's career and define him as a horrorcore legend and pivotal figure, you gotta talk about Nadas too, because that's just as important. And so yeah, that's my top 15 horrorcore artists. Just my list, doesn't mean shit. Sorry if I forgot about Hoop-Dee-Doo, Blood and Guts, or whoever the fuck you think is the shit. But it's just my list, man. Whoever those people are, man, unless they are basically a founding father of the subgenre, that's why they're not on the list. Okay, all these people, if at the very least, have been holding it down for over a decade and are quality lyricists, quality providers to the culture of within the subgenre, all that shit. I mean, that's what you could say about Scum and what he's done with LSP. That's what you could say about King Gordy and just his style since he came on the scene. That's what you could say about Lord Infamous ever since the 3-6 Mafia days, if Triple Six Mafia, or when it was just him and DJ Paul and they were, you know, doing those underground tapes or calling themselves serial killers, like Gangsta Nip, South Park Psycho, late 80s, early 90s, you know, all that shit, man. So that's why it is the way it is. And if you got a problem with it, go jerk off. You'll forget about it afterwards, okay? But yeah, that's my list. What do you think? I kind of don't give a fuck, but I still would like to know to some degree. Whatever. Everyone can make their own horrorcore list, and they'll be right to some degree. But yeah, that's it for this week. All right? Make sure you subscribed, share the episode, whatever. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. All that stuff. Good God, juicy goodness. And yeah, that's it. To all the juggalos, I say whoop whoop, and to everyone else, I say peace.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.